Welcome back to another episode of Interview You. This is your host, Lewis Shine. And hey, have another special episode today. I want to continue on talking about a few things with defense. But first of all, I just want to give a shout out to my partners, Dr. Dish. They create some of the most amazing machines in the world. I want to give a shout out to them for their recent partnership with FIBA. You know, FIBA's dear to my heart because I had an opportunity to work for FIBA in 2016 at a couple of events, tournaments that took place in South America, one in Central America in Panama City, Panama, as well as in Caracas, Venezuela. And so it was amazing. They're an amazing company. They do some great things all over the world. And so with Dr. Dish's recent partnership with FIBA, it's very amazing. You know, you couldn't partner with a better basketball entity other than FIBA. Is very amazing. So, you know, congratulations to my partner, Dr. Dish, on that partnership. And stay tuned because at the end of the episode, we'll give you a special offer with Dr. Dish if you are in the market for a new shooting machine. And also David Roberts State Farm for your auto, home, life insurance needs. You can contact David Roberts State Farm at agentdavidroberts.com. That's agentdavidroberts.com, or you can call them by using the phone number 419-420-7700. That's 419-420-7700. Well, hey, I'm excited to get back into the flow and talk a little bit more about my book, my first book, ebook is called Defense: Keys to Becoming a Top Defensive Team. And, you know, I wanted to put this together. This book is basically a snapshot of my life in basketball, but more particularly on the defensive side. And in most of the book, it talks through an opportunity that I had at the Division II level when my head coach took a leave of absence and I became the acting head coach. And I had an opportunity to put into play many of the defensive principles that I've learned, not only as a player, but as a coach in the pros and just working with players over time. Even with being a team owner and a general manager, I still was a student of the game. And one of the things I really have done over time, even during my coaching years, is really studied the game. I went after knowledge. I went after learning why people were different. Why were the New England Patriots different? How did they win those championships? You know, how were different players on the basketball side, football side? Just those that we know today as excellent athletes, that they're champions and they just have that it factor. You know, UConn and, you know, these different athletes and teams, they win for a reason. They do things for a reason. They're world renowned for a reason. You hear their names for a reason. They're always on SportsCenter for a reason. Like, I went after those kind of teams. I went after learning, why did they do what they did? How did they do it? Why are they winning championships? How are they doing it? How can I do what they do? And how can I do what they're not doing, you know? And so I just studied the game really intensely. And so, you know, this new ebook of mine, it just has some principles in here that I learned and some concepts. Some things that I learned all the way up until last season when I was an associate head coach at the D1 level. I add some of those things in there on the defensive side, and also put some things in here that are think outside the box type things. Like, for instance, I've never heard anybody equate offensive rebounds to defense. You know, there's a connection, of course, but the way I talk about it in this book is kind of how, you know, I approached it, you know, how my mind approaches it. And I just wanted to share that in this book because there's a correlation there. And so I want to talk to you guys for a few moments today, just about the first chapter of my book. And, you know, as we go to the first chapter, I'm actually going to be having all of the people that have bought the book so far on a special Zoom call here this week, where we're just going to be talking about the book in detail. And it's just kind of a way of me doing an extended type of having an extended type of moment with those who have supported the book and have purchased a copy. I just want to go into depth about it. And I'm pretty sure I'll probably put it on social media for, you know, maybe the few spots that could remain if it's not all the way full. But if you want to be a part of that, make sure you purchase a copy of the book so that you can be in that number in terms of being a part of that Zoom call. You know, I really want to help coaches, and I'll say this. It's not about me, you know, selling a book. Of course, the book helps me, you know, it helps my family monetarily. It helps me to continue to help coaches because now I can still continue to create things or whatnot. You know, of course, there's that side of it. But my heart of hearts is, you know, this year I'm not in coaching. You know, I had an off season of tons of interviews, some great interviews. I mean, interviews where I thought I had positions at the D1 level, you know, great interview. And I just didn't get it. You know, they went a different direction at the end. You know, I was a finalist and they chose the other person. And that's fine. You know, I'm not going to go into all the reasons where you might want to shift blame. I really don't do that. Of course, there were some positions I felt like I should have had, you know, but it just didn't happen. And so for me, I want to make sure I'm still relevant in the game. And I feel like God has blessed me with too much wisdom in the game for me to just kind of sit on it and not share it. And so that was part of my motivation in writing this book. It was just like, you know what, since I'm not coaching and may not even coach again, you just never know what the Lord has in that regard, which of course I want to know what the Lord has, and just actively seeking him on what's next for me. But while I'm not in the game, I'm like, you know what, all these quote unquote secrets and different things that I've known over years and things that have caused me to win and set records, and there's records at school, at a, you know, school I coached at right now that I set when I was an acting head coach that still remain. And those things just didn't happen on accident. And I know they didn't happen on accident. And you know, it's one thing when, you know, people can look from the outside and see that something happened and kind of really don't make a big deal out of it. But it's another thing when you know you put things into place on purpose. And because you did it on purpose, you had on purpose results. And so I know that that's what I did. And so in writing this project, this ebook, Defense, Keys to Becoming a Top Defensive Team, I know the exact things that I did to become a top defensive team. And in this book, I have even the NCAA statistics off of the website that you can see in this book that show what our rankings were nationally, you know, from the 2017-2018 season. So the things that I share in this book is not from a novice standpoint. You know, it's not even from a standpoint of, hey, you know, you were acting head coach 1 year and, you know, I can hear that argument. Well, I was an assistant coach and I was an acting head coach, and then I became an associate head coach at the D1 level, but I also am a D1 champion as a player, won a conference championship, was a part of a great team, Miami, Ohio. My team went to the Sweet 16 that year. So I have a championship as a coach. I have a championship as a player. I've also coached in the pros. I've played at every level, even the pro level. So, you know, things after a while begin to add up. And, you know, that's why I can say that it's not from a novice standpoint where it's like, well, I'm just textbook and, you know, where did you learn these things? And then you come into college and you coach 1 year, win a championship the first year, the second year, almost won a championship. I was 15-3. The team that won it was 15-3. They beat us. They won it by a tiebreaker. Literally, we were one game away from winning a championship. And actually, that one game came in a head-to-head matchup against that team. So that particular night, if we would have won that game, we would have won the conference championship again. And so, you know, these principles work. And so my job here is just that I just want to share these things. I just want to share them just so that it can help coaches, because I feel like a lot of times coaching can be made so complicated, but it's not complicated. It's very simple if you keep it simple. And also, before I get going in this first chapter, I don't want to say this stuff like I'm boastful or, you know, anything like that. This is just my experience, and I just hope that in a nutshell, my experience that I'm sharing, that it just helps somebody to see the game in a different way, or use a principle, or use a drill or something like that. And it helps, you know, and for me, if it helps one coach, I'm excited. I'm happy about it, you know, but I really believe wholeheartedly that these principles in this book can help you win a championship. I told one coach not too long ago that coaches in the ACC. I said, hey, I feel like the principles in this book can help you go from the bottom of the conference to the top. I just believe that. I've experienced these things happening. I'm a firm believer that it can work. And so I want to get into one of the parts of this book that's really dear to me. I'm probably going to talk around a little bit, but my first chapter deals with full court press. And I know every team is not a full court pressing team. I know that coming in. But what I'll say is that when you use the full court press to your advantage, there's a set of benefits there that'll help you win that will not be present if you don't full court press. So I'm speaking more to the full court pressing teams, and I'm strongly urging those teams that may not use full court pressing to just think about it. Just think about it. So as I go through just talking about my experience, you know, just think about it a little bit if you don't. You know, and if you do, let this strengthen what you already do. And so, you know, I just start the chapter talking about, you know, letting the game come to you. That's a concept for me that I'm just not familiar with. I feel like if I sit and let the game come to me, then I'm already in a losing battle. Because now I'm waiting for a outside set of circumstances and stimuli that could not be in my favor. And so I'm going to take control of the game. And I feel like if I take control of the game or coach my players to take control of the game, then I'm going to maintain that control. At times it may seem like it's not in my control, but I'm going to try to force it and try to turn the game in my control as much as possible. So I'm not going to sit and let the game come to me. You know, that's just not something that I believe. I feel like, you know, full court pressing is a way for you to control the game and to begin to disrupt the offensive strategy of your opponent. Now, you got to think about it. And here's the simplicity of the game. This is how I think about it. In order to win the game, you have to score the most points. So whoever gets up out of that gym with the most points, whether they scratched and clawed or whether they won by 50 points, when you leave the gym, if you have the most points, you're going to win the game. That's just how it is. We know that, okay? And I'm driving it home. I'm not trying to, you know, sound, I guess, facetious or anything. I'm just kind of driving the point home. So you have the most points, you win. So my first thing is I need to score the most points. Okay. That's one side of it. And that's definitely something you want to do. Because if you have, you know, a high points per game, that makes it very hard for the other team, because if they got to score, I mean, you look at Golden State the last several years, they're averaging high numbers of points. So for you to beat Golden State, you got to do one or two things. You got to score more points than them. So if you go on the premise of I just got to score more points, you got a lot of points to score against a high powered offense. Or the second thing I was going to talk about that pressing does is it stops the other team, or it aids in stopping the other team from scoring. So you can approach a game two ways, two plans. an offensive plan to score as many points as possible, or a defensive plan to stop your opponent from scoring as many points as they want to. Okay. So full court pressing aids in that defensive plan. I want to stop them from scoring as many points as I can stop them from scoring. And I want to make it as hard as possible for them to score points. Let's say it like this, the harder I make it for them to score, the harder it's going to be for them to score. So if I present more challenges, it's going to make it more difficult for them to score. So full court pressing is one of them things that kind of cuts the snake off at the head. You catch them right before they inbound the ball. So let's take this as a picture. You score a basket. Your opponent takes the ball out, and the first thing they see is you and your press. So now, instead of thinking about this awesome offense that they're about to go down the court and run, they're thinking about, how can I break this press? Or is my man in the right place? Or can I run the baseline and get away from this defender that's trying to deny the inbounds pass? Am I throwing the ball into the right place? Because if I throw it into the corner, they're going to trap them. You're going to trap my player. I mean, there's so many different things. And if you've been an athlete, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So you already put, as a pressing team, you put so many things in the mind of your opponent when you set up in a press. This even takes it back to, I'll tell you this. When we pressed, let's put it like this. I'm going to explain it like this. Do you think that the player that had to guard Michael Jordan the game before they played Michael Jordan wasn't thinking about Michael Jordan? You darn right. His mind was on Michael Jordan. I got to guard Mike next game. Oh my gosh. You know, and I've heard stories. You can flip on YouTube and look up stories to hear stories or watch stories of players thinking like, man, I got to guard Mike tomorrow night. That's because of how Mike played. And so it's the same thing. You can begin to win games before you even play teams, but it's based on how you play. If you bring something that poses enough of a threat to a team, you're going to be in their minds. You're going to make it to where that coach can't even sleep at night almost, because he's trying to figure out, how is he going to beat your press? Your press that causes so many turnovers per game, and they've seen how you've done other teams. Like, when you do this kind of thing, it puts something on the mind of other players and other teams. So now they talk about coming in winning. Now you may make it to where you're so dangerous at what you do that other team, their coaches are they preaching something different. They like, you know what, just go out and do your best and then we'll live with the results. So they're not even preaching victory anymore. They're over there preaching doom. Hey, do what you can. Do your best. You know, they're a high-powered team, but we're going to come and play and do the best we can. Do you see how that's different? It's defeat. But you can begin to win games before games are even played by how excellent you are in what you do. And one of the things that I aimed myself at doing is this full-court press. My favorite was the 1-2-2. And the reason the 1-2-2 was my favorite, because the 1-2-2 in some ways mirrors the 3-2 half court zone matchup, defensive zone, words mixed up, but you know what I'm saying? A 3-2 half court, call it 32. So a 1-2-2 back to a 3-2, I was able to make it to where my players were in the similar positions and their assignment was easier because they were able to shift and go back, drop back to a half court set, and they were in similar positions. Now, the advantage that I had with that, although they were similar positions, was I taught my players how to play the different positions within the 3-2 or the 1-2-2, so that if they got out of position, they knew how to play the position that they ended up in when they switched out, or if they just got discombobulated where they had to hop into position, they knew how to talk and figure out where to get or where to feel. And they were able to feel very nicely, because in practice, we worked on that. We worked on talking. We worked on shifting. We worked on filling a position and getting into a position and filling it for the next player if they were out of place. And we worked on that heavily. So when it came to the game, I wasn't surprised that we forced 25 turnovers because that's what we worked on doing. And we worked on doing it from an analytical standpoint, statistical, and practical and physical. We looked at it every single direction. And that's why it's so important that when you're in practices and coaches, when you're in practices, when you're in film sessions, that's not the time to rush through it because you are on a certain time schedule. You ought to leave more time to teach for teaching and learning than you do for actually getting in drills. Like, don't let the teaching and the learning and the extra few minutes in film because players have questions. Let that have a dominance over we got to get on the court and run this play. It's if you take your time, they'll learn. And we've had it many times where we went from learning, and because practice may have been cut short just a little bit, we might work on scout, where, you know, scout practice, if for you who don't know, is you go through the plays of the other team. Well, I think that's nice and all. And yes, you do that. But we worked on our stuff so much that we were so confident that if we do what we're supposed to do, we're going to win and we're going to blow this team out. Now, that might sound like I'm cocky or conceited or whatever. But see, you got to understand, the people that were great, that's how they thought. They're not thinking so much on what the other team is doing. The other team has to stop what I'm doing. And because we've worked on this and we've trained and we've mastered this, I can forget about scout. Now, I'm not saying that I would do that, but what I'm saying is I have more confidence in what we're doing in our system and how we're going out trying to blow a team out and destroy a team than I have in me knowing exactly what they're doing. So just to take this all the way back, as you begin to full court press a team, you can get in their mind by how you play. You can send a message to the next team by how you play in your last three games because you know they're looking at it. So put some fear in their hearts and take it serious. When you're playing a game, you're trying to send a message to that team, those coaches, and you're trying to send a message to the next coaches that you got to play and every other coach in the league. When you come in here, you better be ready to play. Or I put it like this, we don't care if you're ready to play or not because we're about to put this pressure on you. We're about to see what you're made of. So let's go back to this full court press. And so when you get into the full court press, you're putting pressure on the team. And so now once you're on the court and you're putting pressure on the team. So if you're putting pressure on the team when they're taking out the ball on that half of the court, they got to go all the way to the other end. And so if you're in college or you're in high school with a shot clock or in the pros, so they're racing against the clock now. So in college, we had a 30-second clock. So I would rather, let's just say, you know, of course we want turnovers. We want to shoot the, you know, in the front court, we want to make sure that we try to intercept the ball. When we pressed, unless we dropped the press back to a three quarter or something like that, we wanted to press because those first 5 to 10 seconds before that ball crosses half court, we're trying to get steals. We're trying to get steals. Like, it's not oops if we get one. No, we're trying to take the ball. And I'll talk about that in another episode because I'll get on steals and I'll get on turnovers forced. I want to stay centered on full court press. But we're trying to take the ball. Like, it's not like a if we do or a, oops, I accidentally got it because they lost it. No, we're trying to take it. And we game plan to get steals. And it takes extensive studying of the other team. And I'm not talking about just looking at a little film. I'm talking about there's times I was up all night, you know, in the office, 2-3 in the morning, or you know, I just took it serious, you know. And so when I was done watching film, my players could trust that If coach said that this player goes right all the time, or they pivot a certain way, or they do a certain thing, then they can trust that, okay, this is a scouting report. We're gonna go out and execute it. And if it, you know, coaches watch film, he's giving us the game plan, we're gonna execute it that way. I believe that as a coach, you have to give your players accurate information. You can't leave it up to happenstance on the court. Things are gonna happen. But for the most part, averages are in place for a reason. And if you can see where a player dribbles right and pulls up, and they do that 80% of the time, which you can get those same stats off of Synergy, that gives you the percentages of the ways that players play. If you, and I study all those things, when you get that, and you get that down, you prepare your players for changes, but you let them know the probability. Hey, they go left, they're gonna dribble twice, and they're gonna pull up. So my player is going to be ready to block that shot, or we're going to be ready to take that ball when they pull it up and they try to get into their jump shot. So that's how I used to do the scouting reports. On my scouting reports, there was probabilities. It was very detailed. And so we're trying to steal the ball before they get past half court. If they happen to get past half court, then you've just taken about 10 seconds off the clock. So now they're past half court. And now, if you had a 30-second clock, you're at 20 seconds now. Now, we know 20 seconds can be a long time in some cases, but 20 seconds goes quick. And so by the time you get past half court and you communicate with your players as a point guard to run a play, you got 20 seconds. So by the time you get that entry pass into your wings or your high post, you might be looking at 15, 14. So now the shot clock is running down. And whenever you have this type of situation, you, when you hear the slogan or the phrase, you can speed up a team's offense. This is what happens when you put pressure in on a press and you take as much time as possible. If you don't get the steal, they get across half court, set up their offense. You've taken half of that shot clock away just by default because of the pressure, and they had to beat your press, and now they're in the offense. So now, instead of them having a comfortable 30 seconds to come down court casually without pressure, players go wherever they want. Point guard is able to pass the ball wherever they want without pressure, and players are able to move and just pass the ball back up top and then to the other wing and to the high post without pressure. That makes it easy for a team to do. But when you have pressure and you've cut that shot clock down with a press and they come across half court, by the time they get in their offense, and there's like now it's 12, 11, they have to speed up what they're doing just to get a good shot off. Because if they don't speed up and try to get through the reads of their particular offense, whether it's a motion, whether it's a horns, or whether it's a flex or anything like that, now they don't have that the luxury of that time to go through casually and find the right open man and short corner. They don't have that. They're sped up now. So they got to hurry up and get a look. So if they want to get it to a certain player, they got to hurry up and go through the offense to where it will reach the progression where that player will get the ball. And if they don't have time to do that, then they have to figure it out, or everybody drop 1-4 low, or one-on-one situation, or call a ball screen so you can get a quick shot off. And when those kind of things happen, that will significantly decrease your ability to think about a proper shot, your a high percentage shot versus a low percentage, because everything is going fast now. So you're just trying to get a shot off before the shot clock runs out. And what that'll do, when you have teams constantly put in that type of position, you're going to get teams that aren't going to shoot what they normally shoot, far as field goal percentage, 3-point field goal percentage, getting good shots off in the post. They're not going to get the same type of looks and be able to cognitively think through the game as if there was no pressure, where they can do it casually, comfortably. But when you got that pressure and there's not that much time left, if a coach hasn't trained their players like that, then you're going to expose them. So it goes from the press, you dropping back court, you're continuing to put pressure on them with your defense, and they're trying to get a quick shot off. So now you can leave a game and say, wow, we held them to 22% from the field, but we did it on purpose, or at least we had a plan. And it's not to say that this will completely happen all the time, but you had a plan to make it happen. And what your job is to do as coaches is to execute that plan the best of your ability. And when you leave that game, you go to the next game and you turn it up a little more. And you say, you know what? We went to execute that plan and it didn't quite work all the way. So we're going to turn it up a little more next game. And then the next time we see that team, when we got to play them the second time around, we're going to turn it up again, or we're going to change some things. And so this is how, in a nutshell, and there's some more within this chapter, but that's how I mentally would break down the press, you know, in this book. And when I coached, you want to make it to where the other team, that they have so many disadvantages, because you want to find where it hurts them. If when they speed up their offense, they're not real good, or they take bad shots, or when the offense is sped up because they don't have enough time because you press them, and now the players are turnover prone and they're throwing bad passes because they're trying to hurry up and get a shot up before the shot clock runs out. And you're exposing their weaknesses, and they're dribbling it off their feet and all kinds of stuff, and they're mishandling the ball to where you can get steals. It increases opportunities for turnovers, whether that's forced or unforced, when you full court press. That's just a piece of it. And that's one of the things that I did. And because this year, this particular year, 2017, 2018, there were so many amazing things that happened for us because we did exactly what I'm talking to you about. You know, we were, you know, in steals per game, we were fifth in the nation. Turnovers forced, we were fourth in the nation. And then I even took it a step further. I love three-point defense, because one of the things I hated was when people, if a team scores 30 points worth of three-pointers on you, defensively, you're not doing your job. And so I just said, that's not going to be me. A team's not going to beat me from the three-point line. And if you beat me from three-point line, you're going to be shooting 30, 40 feet away, because on that three-point line, we're going to guard that three-point line. We're going to guard that arc right at that arc. So if you want to shoot them for us, you're going to be shooting them at half court, because if you shoot them from the three-point line extended, it's going to be a hand in your face. It's going to be blocked, or we're not going to let you get the ball up and get a comfortable form to your three-pointer. And so you have to work at these things. And in that particular year, we were 27th in the nation in three-point field goal defense. Not as high as I would have wanted it, but I should have majored on that a little earlier in the season. But we still managed to have we're in the top 30. You know, the national champion that particular year, they were not even in the top 30 defense-wise. Of course, they won other ways, but this was just one of our things that we didn't want to lose at because a team just shot us out the gym. And so we had to do that on purpose. And so full court press, you know, that's just a piece of what I talk about here in my ebook, Defense Keys to Becoming a Top Defensive Team. That's only a piece of it. There's more I talk about it. I just want you to get a copy. Check it out. I believe in many ways it'll help you, coaches. And I'm not just saying this because I wrote it, but I am saying it because I've experienced it. I've walked through it. I have results that are noted, recorded on the NCAA site. So it really happened, you know. And all I'm saying is, for me, we didn't accidentally get ranked. we on purpose did it, and we worked in practice, and we did red drills, and we did certain things that trained our players to go out there and annihilate the other team. We were not trying to make the ball game close. And that was just how we did it. And so I just wanted to share that with you today. I'm just talking a little bit more about my book this week. We'll get back into some special guests in the coming weeks as we close out the year. But I really want to just talk a little bit about the book, just to give people that are maybe borderline wanting to get it, maybe not getting it or whatnot. I just want to give you a few nuggets out of here, just to let you know that these are things that I've actually put to practice, and actually that I've helped other teams that have reached out to me, or Just some of the friends in the game, just some of these concepts, they really work. And some of the things I got creative and came up with, or I had a different spin, but some of them I learned from people, and I just put it together in the right type of format and chemistry in the context of my team when I was an acting head coach. We got results. And if I was the coach tomorrow and get called up to be a head coach, I put these things into practice and they're going to work for me. And I know it. And I know the feeling. I know the feeling when there's another coach working their stuff. And then I know the feeling of me working my stuff against them, but I have to alter and change it so that I can gain the advantage. And so I'm just a coach that'll do whatever it takes, and I'm going to outthink the next coach. And if they're outthinking me on one end, I might turn it and outthink them somewhere else where it's going to put pressure that's going to make them take their mind off of what they're doing and have to react to what I'm doing. It's just different ways you think. And I tried to learn from the best at that kind of stuff. So I just try to share it in this book, and I have, and hope that you guys will go ahead and get a copy of it. It's I love it. I love this stuff. I'm a thinker. I'm a strategist. And so being able to, do this with the game and now just be able to help people, and mentor teams and, been in and do like 2-day symposiums with teams and stuff like that, which, if you're a coach out there and, you're listening to what I'm saying and you're reading this book or whatnot, or you're trying to increase your defensive efficiency in what you do and get more results, I would love to talk to you about working with you and your team and your coaching staff. I believe that I can really, really help you. So I would love to reach out, reach out to me if you like. I would love to speak with you. You can reach out to me, lewisshine.com. Go to contact us and you can contact me right there, or you can reach out lewisshine@hotmail.com. Would love to speak to you, but something I'm really passionate about, and I really think that if you get this book, check it out. I think it'll really help you. So make sure to get this book. You can visit lewisshine.com and go to resources, and under the coaches section, you'll see the book as well as some other resources you can click on, and you can purchase the book right there, or any of my social medias at Lewis Shine on everything right now. In all of the bios, you can click on the bio, they'll take you right to the book site. Or I'm posting all day, every day about the book since it's brand new. You can go to any social media, you'll see where the book is on my timeline. So hope you guys are getting it, and I hope you guys have enjoyed this talk. Hope that it's helped you. I'll be doing a few more episodes about some different topics from different chapters, and I hope you enjoy those and tune in as well. So thanks so much for listening in. And as we leave today, I want to shout out my partners, David Roberts State Farm, Ohio. If you're in the Ohio area and you're looking for your auto, home insurance, life insurance needs, visit agentdavidroberts.com, agentdavidroberts.com, or 419-420-7700. They'll take great care of you. I've personally have referred people that they've helped save hundreds of dollars, lots of money on their policies, and they will definitely take care of you there. Most certain of that. So they're a great partner of ours, and we appreciate their support. And I also want to shout out Dr. Dish. Been in partner with them this year, and amazing company, amazing people. They stand behind what they do. They make quality machines. I've actually used the machines myself as a coach, getting shots up and used them with my players. I mean, both, individuals after practice, it really helps. It's a great machine, and they're coming out with many, many more machines. And so, we have three particular machines that if you just mention the Interview You podcast, in reaching out to them, you'll get an extra discount, off of each one of these machines. We're looking at the machines, the All-Star, the Rebel, or the CT model of the Dr. Dish machines. If any one of those machines interests you, you can get an extra discount off of any one of the machines to $300 by mentioning the Interview You podcast, when you reach out to them. So make sure you visit their website, as well as follow them on social media. They're on all platforms, Dr. Dish B-Ball, on Twitter and on Instagram. They have some amazing content. I love the fact that they are very open in the space of basketball, and they're really helping the space. They care about people. They care about people more than just a machine or get shots up. You know, they're intricate to the space of basketball. And like I say, as you visit their site, as you visit their social media, you can see how they're integrated into families and, you know, just caring about people. And, you know, instead of just trying to sell a machine, they care about the space of basketball and they care about the people who are in it. And so I'm honored to just be a part of what they're doing. And I'm grateful that they chose to partner with me to be a part of what I'm doing as well in the Interview You podcast. So make sure you check them out. If you're in a market for a machine, they are the right people to go with. Dr. Dish Basketball. So check them out. You won't regret it. And I'm so grateful that you guys tuned into the episode today. Make sure you check back. We will be on the rest of the week and talking some more about defense. And my new book entitled Defense, Keys to Becoming a Top Defensive Team. We'll be talking about that a little more. So until next time, thank you guys so much for tuning in to Interview You. We'll see you on the next episode.